They call it the ROC, the Results Operating Center. Charles Salier from the Patriotic Alliance is there, one of the two breakout parties of election 2024. We'll see how the PA is feeling about its performance thus far. Charles, I know you're in great demand there. What are you guys feeling like? You get 6,660 votes in the last national election. You're already exponentially greater than that. There are extrapolations that I suppose you're going to come down from around 4% where you're at the moment. But what can you give us just some insights on how you're seeing the results so far with about a fifth of the votes counted?
Yeah, so I guess that it is early doors. We've had a strong start, and a lot of that has to do with the work that we've done in the rural areas. So those are the votes that get counted first. So I guess all eyes are now to see what happens in the metros, because those are always the last things to count. And things will change a lot. We know that the ANC has had a better showing in some of the townships, that there are votes waiting for them in places like Soweto. So they are likely to rise a bit. It's very unlikely that they're ever going to see 50 again in our lifetimes. But I think that for me, one of the standout things from this, one of the big lessons from this, is that the pollsters are going to have to go back and review their methodologies when it comes to parties like the PA, because I don't think that they're approaching us correctly. I think that there's something wrong with the methodology, because we were hiding somewhere in the margin of error, and we're actually a bit bigger than that. So a lot of other parties were being overestimated and we were being underestimated. So I'd love to see what went wrong with those predictions. But overall, the really big prediction of the ANC coming down below 50 has held true. I think that's the big story of this election. And obviously, they're going to need a coalition partner. We don't have any agreement with anyone. We are still pushing hard and hoping that we can bring the DA down below 50. We agree with people like Corne Mulder. That'll be a good thing for democracy. And quite frankly, the DA has had a shockingly negative campaign. They were attacking not just the PA, but many parties. And we felt that they could have really put their best foot forward and spoken about themselves instead of going after us and trying to lie about us, slandering us, really, and attacking us and trying to drag us to court on every issue imaginable. And if they have any wisdom, they will go back and say, we tried to throw everything we could at the PA and they still grew phenomenally. And that should tell them that voters don't buy that. Voters want you to talk about yourself. And they know that they're lying. They know that 80% of what they're saying has absolutely no basis in truth, and the other 20% is distorted. And they're doing that cynically, right? And this is what I probably feel most proud about in this election, is that the voters have rejected that. And the PA is looking incredibly strong in the Western Cape, where we've been attacked the most. You know, where John Steenhuisen was saying, oh, why are they coming here? Why are they not contesting Limpopo or whatever? As if the Western Cape is not a democracy, as though the DA has some kind of entitlement to govern there until Jesus comes, or however you want to say it. Then in the Northern Cape, we are on track there to possibly be the third biggest party. We're neck and neck with the EFF at the moment. Hopefully we can come out there third. Hopefully we can bring the ANC down below 50. It's not looking promising, but we would really, really like to do that. And we're having a strong showing in the Eastern Cape. We already have one seat there. We're hoping we can get two or three. That's particularly unexpected for many people. As for the other provinces, I think obviously Gauteng, we've got a very big presence in the south of Joburg. Hopefully the Patriots came out. The Patriots have really come out in this election. And I think we've also had a lot of support from unexpected quarters, people you wouldn't expect. We've had white Afrikaners that have voted for us. We even got two votes in Oranje, right? I mean, I don't know who voted for the EFF in Iran. They got one vote. I think maybe that's the biggest surprise of the entire election. Yeah, I think that's the biggest surprise of this entire election. So the Gauteng vote's really lagging behind. We're hoping that that's going to come through strongly for us. And yeah, I think we have a youth contingent that's voting for the PA primarily because of the appeal of Gayson McKenzie and Kenny Kunen. And we have a lot of Black people that have really opened up to the PA, and especially the mission that we have with the return of law and order and the secure borders. I think we've probably been the strongest voice to control migration and really seal the borders properly. So I think that's been the mix. And we've shown once and for all that you don't need a lot of posters to do well in an election. In many ways, posters are just litter. People want to know, they want to see people campaigning on the ground. It's not about posters. So that's a mouthful, Alec, but that's more or less my story.
Well, I mean, the takeaway there is somebody in Orania voted for the EFF. It must have been a Shawley. He had a bit too much Witblitz the night before. But how come you can get to see that kind of detail? Is that part of what being a member of a political party gives you, that you can, in fact, drill down to that degree?
I think anyone can drill down into the IEC's results by ward. So Orania is just another ward in terms of the constitutional framework. They haven't, as much as they might want to leave the country, they haven't. So the IEC dutifully will go in there. I mean, you see wards here being described as like a tent next to Piet Venter's farm. You know, you have VDs described like that. So the IEC is honestly taking their job of setting up VDs, you know, everywhere where a human being is alive and breathing, taking that seriously. And Orania is one of those places. And I think if there's one thing that people can take comfort from this election, is that democracy is indeed alive and well. We might not like everything we see. We might not like who people vote for. But democracy, you know, it's a bit like that cliche about a good rugby game where they'll end up saying, you know, rugby was the winner. And truly, democracy is the winner here. As much as there were problems with the machines, there were long queues, the IEC was overstretched and under-resourced. You know, we had a lot of issues on the day. At the end of it all, we can still proudly say that they've delivered a really good election, a democratic and fair. I mean, there's always issues. There will always be somebody trying to steal a vote here and there. But they've delivered a pretty good election as far as we're concerned.
Charles, what is it likely to be the final outcome from the number of votes that are being received? In the 2019 election, we were at 66%. In the local elections in 2021, we dropped all the way down to 44%. Yesterday, the IEC was saying they expected to be above 66%. Is that still on target?
Yeah, I think this has been a high turnout. I'm not sure I really understand all the stats, so I'm not going to pretend to be an expert on what I'm seeing. What I am picking up from being here is that there is a high turnout. There's a lot more youth than people expected. That kind of stereotype of the apathetic youth, the disaffected youth, I don't think that's held true. I think that the youth have come to the party on this one. They've come out in their numbers. The very, very long queues, Wits, last night went on for hours and hours after closing time, are a testament to the fact that young people really committed to participating in this election. Right? I think they want to change, and they're going to get it. I mean, we're not sure what that change is going to look like. But I can't say I really understand all of these numbers, but we'll have time to unpack what's going on here. But yeah, high voter turnout, and some big surprises, obviously MK being the big talking point of this election.
Well, MK is the one, and you guys is the breakout party. Neither of you had seats. By the current calculations, you'll have about 50 seats out of a 400-seat parliament between the two of you. As things stand now, and it could, of course, change and get much bigger or much smaller than that, but that's a significant impact.
Yeah, I think that we have emerged as the fastest growing party. We've been saying that. Gayson has been saying that on your show, and many other parties have tried to claim that label. Action SA probably the most, and we've been the party saying no, but we are the fastest growing party, and we've proven that. I don't think you can call the MK the fastest growing party, because what they are is a party that's probably going along that cope, that kind of cope phenomenon of a breakaway from the ANC that just explodes onto the scene and they're just massive. And then it raises questions around sustainability. You know, COPE imploded really quickly. We've seen fighting within the ranks of MK even earlier than we saw with COPE. So there's been a lot of infighting within MK even before this election. You have to wonder what's the future for them. If there's a post-Jacob Zuma world in which they can continue to be this behemoth in our politics that they currently are, because the COPE story isn't promising for them, but maybe they can chart a different path for themselves. If I have to choose between the MK and the PA, knowing very little about either party, I would choose the PA because we've shown a consistent growth, we've shown sustainability, and our votes and our growth is based on work on the ground and people who are voting for the PA because they like the PA, not because they're trying to punish the ANC because they feel Zuma got a bad deal. You know, it's not a party that has had this meteoric rise. You know, we've had sustainable long-term growth, and I'm very proud of what we've achieved and very humbled by it and very grateful to the Patriots for this consistent support.
So Julius calls his guys the fighters and you now call your guys the Patriots. That's very nice. I'd love to just take you through the main screens. Here in the National Assembly, 20% of the vote in. There you are as the fifth biggest party, comfortably above the IFP at the moment, but clearly there's a lot of votes still to come from KZN. Are you expecting to end up around this 4% level, Charles, or is it flattering at the moment?
I think that Gayton and I had a conversation earlier, and he looked closer to 3%. I mean, we'd love to stay above 4%, right? But I think you'll recall that when you interviewed me many months ago, you asked me where you think we're going to land, and I said to you, if we get to 3%, I will do somersaults and dance on the ceiling. And you know, for me, that was always a great result for us. And I think that many people in the PA were always privately hoping for something like what we're seeing now. Obviously, you're gonna say more. You know, you're gonna go out there and pitch yourself higher, because you got to aim higher. But in reality, a 3% outcome for the PA is incredibly good, you know. And we've looked at this even before the vote happened to say we can't lose in this election, because we know we're going to Parliament. We knew that for a fact. We know we're going to some of these legislatures, Western Cape, Northern Cape, Eastern Cape and Gauteng. We know we're going there. And we're going there off a zero base. We came into this hall with absolutely nothing, and we're leaving with so much, right? So for us, 3% would be amazing. Anything above that right now is an absolute bonus. We still feel that the IFP has an opportunity to perhaps pass us. Where things get complicated with that prediction is that MK is absolutely slaughtering them they're slaughtering everybody in KZN. I think they're doing much more in KZN than anybody even predicted. They are the runaway winners. So that is complicating the IFP's projections. And who knows, we may sneak home ahead of them. And the fifth place finish for the PA is just beyond phenomenal.
Just to dwell very briefly on KZN, with MK at over 40% of the vote, there's not a lot of the votes have been counted, but indeed that is a very good performance by anybody's standards, and we'll be watching that as it unfolds. But for you guys, the big thing is the Western Cape, and I'm going to put that up on our screens now. You are at the moment with about a third of the votes counted, a very handy third place there at in double figures anyway as a percentage, as the DA just clings on to its majority. What is the ANC sitting at 20%? This was the area where you were always going to do best in relative to the number of provincial seats that were available. So far at 11%, is that kind of in line with your thoughts?
Yeah, I think so. We were looking at about 15%. As a kind of upper band for us. So we're within that 12 to 15% that we were looking for. We'll see, because as I said earlier, it's the rural votes that come in first. And we had a strategy of kind of pincering into the metro. And anybody that understands the Western Cape knows that by far the majority of the votes are coming from the Cape Metro. Cape Metro dominates that province in a way that many other provinces don't see. So we are looking to see if you're going to see the same kinds of trends in places like Mitchell's Plain, which have historically fallen very heavily towards the DA. But what we saw with things like our Athlone rally and some of the trips that Gayton has made into these historically strong DA strongholds is that we've made serious inroads. So the DA may find themselves below 50, but it all depends on what the Metro has decided. It comes down to the people living in Cape Town right now.
Do you have any idea when that result will be through, when the Cape Metro numbers will be available? Because we are already a third of the way through. Mm.
As I said to you, the metros are always the last things to get counted. They're very complex, and VDs are heavily populated. I think Soweto historically is one of the last places to be counted, but I think some of the bigger townships in Cape Town, Khayelitsha and so on, they also take a long time to count. So I expect we'll start to get a very clear picture of that past 75% of the vote.
Charles, just to close off with, some of the other parties, Good seems to have hit a brick wall. You mentioned Cope earlier. It's just about gone, less than 0.1%. Has the PA really absorbed the Good voters? It is in a similar market, I suppose.
Yeah, I think it's fair to say that we've absorbed. We can see it on the ground. We saw it with the people who were signing up for PA. You got a taste of it in that George by-election that we spoke about previously, when the three Good councillors vacated those wards. And we took the wards off between the DA and ourselves. We took those wards off Good. So you had a sense there that Good's in trouble. And I think that one of the big talking points from this election going forward is going to be that discussion around the way that people try to politicize Israel-Palestine issue, right? And they try to turn that into some kind of campaign vehicle, which personally I felt was a cynical thing to do, because we personally as the PA didn't actually pick sides. Unless you say that a two-state solution is a side, right? But what we've seen here is that the parties that have actually come out strongly for Palestine, you know, Good being one of those, that hasn't translated into votes, you know. And if you look at the performance of the DA, who are also saying two-state solution, and you had people trying to politicize their position on Palestine, it hasn't hurt them at all, right? So maybe this is a big lesson to some of these parties who are cynically trying to use the pain of an intractable situation in the Middle East that nobody has a solution for. Who are trying to cynically use that pain to get people to vote for them. They should be ashamed of themselves, and I'm very happy that the voters have rejected that.
What about the two winners amongst the winners in the airtime ahead of the election, Rise Mzansi and Boza? We don't see them featuring anywhere. Is this a reflection perhaps of not enough votes being counted yet in the areas where they might be strong, or does it show that they really haven't broken through here? Because at the current level, they'll be lucky to each get one member of parliament.
Yeah, I mean, I've been chatting to the Rise people here at The Rock. They're incredibly nice individuals, incredibly good people. I like them very much. I haven't seen anyone from Bosa as yet, but what I picked up from them is that they're in very good spirits, right? They've actually approached this election with the right attitude of whatever they get, and they'll learn from it. And I think that they're a party that's bedding down to the long haul a little bit like us. Right. And I encourage them to look at the municipal elections as the place where, as a party like they are, that they can really break out, because they believe in, similar to the PA, they believe in doing that work as activists in communities on the ground. And I said that I can actually see that translating into really good support come the next election, 2026 local government. And yeah, I think that they've got the right attitude. And I told them, even if they get that one seat in parliament, they should celebrate that and understand that it's a toehold into the system. And something like the PA should be an encouragement to all parties that even if you don't start off well, if you hold the course and learn from your mistakes and adapt, then it doesn't mean that you can't recover and you can't become a formidable presence, influence in politics. So I think they've got the right idea. As for Bosa, I think that there's some issues there. I think that one of the big talking points from this election is going to be the absolute futility of being an independent candidate, right? And I think a lot of that started with Musi trying to push this idea that independent candidates should be on the ballot. I don't think that the South African system is geared for this. The IEC put independent candidates on the ballot in the form of malicious compliance. They had no hope of getting anywhere. And all that it's done is it's complicated the election for everybody and it's made it more expensive. So I don't think anybody's been left better off by the introduction of these independent candidates as much as we might say, oh, it's a wonderful thing for democracy. If we're very honest about it, it hasn't worked. It's a waste of time and money. Maybe somebody will crack it at some point, but you've got people like Louis Liebenberg on this independent ballot. And, you know, he makes Trump seem like very reasonable and well-balanced individual. So, you know, it takes a crazy person to want to be an independent candidate. And that's why probably one of the craziest people in the country is on the ballot as an independent. So for me, that's an unfortunate story to tell from this election is that, you know, this experiment in independent candidates hasn't worked. And we have to commit to the fact that South Africa is a multi-party democracy. And I would love us to have that difficult discussion before the next election. We're either going to change the electoral system properly where independent candidates actually get a fair chance, right? Because they've been horribly prejudiced in this election. They've been handed no chance whatsoever. So we change the system properly where they have a fair chance or we don't allow them to contest again. I don't think that this current approach ever will.
Charles Elias is with the Patriotic Alliance. And as you can hear, he's very upbeat at the moment. And surely we will be watching your progress, as we have been doing for some months, as one of the breakout parties of the Election 24. And I'm Alec Hogg from biznews.com.